On this episode of The Edge Podcast, ClearEdge CEO and founder Leslie Vickery interviews Alicia Gensler, President and Chief Client Officer at Randstad Technologies, US. With a connection that began when these two leaders were starting their careers at Sphereon, Leslie and Alicia dig deep and discuss raising the ranks in their careers while navigating issues like gender balance, equality, and family. We hope you enjoy this episode.
Hi, everyone. This is Leslie Vickery, the CEO and founder of ClearEdge Marketing, and welcome to the Edge Podcast. Today, I have with me Alicia Gensler, who's the President and Chief Client Officer at Randstad Technologies, US. I have known Alicia since the early Sphereon days when I started my career in staffing. Actually, I was with Interim, and we merged with Narelle to become Sphereon, and that was when I was first introduced to Alicia and their DC office. And I recently had the pleasure of interviewing Alicia one-on-one during the Tech Serve Annual Women's Luncheon. So I have to say, once again, I am so pleased to have you, Alicia, as our guest. And it's truly an honor to invite you here to our podcast. So thank you for joining us.
Well, thank you, Leslie. I am very excited to be here as well. And it's great to catch up with you again.
I know, twice in 1 year, we're breaking a record.
I know.
We'll have to keep that going.
Absolutely.
We all get so busy, but it's nice to reconnect. Well, you started more than two decades ago of tenure with Randstad Technologies, if you add in all of the pre-merger acquisition timeframe. Mm-hmm. And I remember you earlier in your career as an account executive, and you really have grown through the ranks and continued with a proven track record of success. Now, you are part of a growing group of women in our industry, I'm really proud to say, who have made it to the president and C-suite level. And you've really done it in a traditionally male-dominated field. Now, certainly, we have a lot of women in leadership positions and in sales and in recruiting and fee earner roles, but not as many in the C-suite. Would you say that made your journey even more difficult, or why or why not?
So I don't know if I would say personally it's made it more difficult. You know, I think that the best part of my journey to becoming, I guess, in the C-suite at Randstad Technologies is just that it was a journey. And I agree with you that it is arguably a more male-dominated kind of field in terms of when you see individuals at that level, at that C-suite. But, you know, one of the things I get asked a lot about is just that. Like, do you feel, you know, has that been a big issue for you that there is a lot of senior leadership and that are males versus females? And how have you kind of navigated through that? And I tell people this all the time. I never looked at it that way. I know that sounds crazy because there's absolutely a difference between female and male, but I didn't look at it because I didn't look at it as an obstacle. I just looked at it as that this is the way it is. And I felt that if I, you know, did what I needed to do and kind of earn the right that I would be able to either apply or be tapped on the shoulder for an opportunity. I didn't look at that as I wouldn't be able to accomplish something because there's more males in this field. I've never looked at it that way. I think, you know, a lot of times we get in our way because of that. We use that as, I wouldn't say an excuse, but it definitely is something that I think we kind of look at and say, not sure I can do that because it's generally that men that do that. I'll be honest, I didn't look at it that way. I knew I was surrounded mainly by men, I should say. But I looked at that as an opportunity. I looked at it to, you know, learn. I looked at it to really be able to kind of leverage some of the things that they were doing. But I never looked at it as an issue or something that would be in the way for me to potentially move up in the organization if that's what I wanted to do.
Well, and I know, Alicia, both of us have had fantastic male mentors and champions of ours throughout our careers, partially because there are so many men in leadership roles, but also just we've been fortunate to work with some pretty talented executives who have helped rise us up. And, you know, hopefully one day soon, and I'll transition to this next topic, we won't even have to say, gosh, she's a phenomenal, strong female leader, or look at the gender diversity within the recruitment space. Mm-hmm. It'll just be there. We're just strong, you know, executive leaders within our space, which is ultimately what we're all trying to strive for. And the more women we get in the C-suite like you, the more that will just start to naturally continue to happen. So the timing of our podcast recording is actually perfect. International Women's Day is this Friday. So the theme this year is Better the Balance, Better the World, meaning a better world would be a gender-balanced boardroom, gender-balanced government, more media coverage, gender-balanced employees, and wealth, and sports coverage even. But for many of our listeners, they're not sure what that means or how they can help per se. And they want to make change on the diversity and balance front, but they just don't really know where to start. So I know you've been highly involved with women in technology initiatives at Randstad and in general. So I'd love for you to perhaps share some insight about how you're leading that charge and getting things done, and whether that be just at Randstad or as a whole, but how that's happening and maybe any advice you have for people for how they can also get involved to make that change.
Yeah, that's a very good topic. And, you know, to start with, Randstad's commitment to corporate and social responsibility has been part of the company's fabric really since our founding. And I've been very fortunate because our organization has some very strong female leaders within. And it has really been, you know, our vision and our core values to really align and make sure that diversity and inclusion were really a staple of what we do. And our belief in diversity and corporate responsibilities shine throughout the entire organization. So starting with that, I know that not all companies feel that way, but we are definitely in that space and feel very strongly about it. So part of some of the things that I got involved in very early on, as you mentioned, are some of the associations around women in technology, Women in Technology International. And really a big part of that was to engage in women that were in the technology field and understand kind of what some of their struggles had been, understand what kind of some of their challenges over the years had been, and work to kind of develop a platform to allow women to network together, to try to, you know, support and help their own individual professional growth. And we have some internal groups within Randstad that I'm involved in. One of them happens to be called Wired, which is around women in Randstad empowering development. And, you know, we not only preach it on the outside, but we support it on the inside. And, you know, I think that as one of the largest HR services and staffing companies in the country, you know, part of what we do is really being committed to giving back to the community. And part of that is really supporting, for me, women in the technology field. And, you know, we have done things such as host different networking events. We have sponsored different career days for women who are interested in the field. We also partner with an organization that basically allows women that are in technology to be filmed and brought into a classroom. So at a very, very early age, we can start talking to young girls around the field and sharing with them stories about that. Yes, no, it's not only a male-dominated field, that it's not what you think it is, and showing them kind of those individuals' paths of success. I am involved with Girls on the Run, which is an amazing organization, you know, that I'm very passionate about, that I think changes lives of thousands of girls each year. And really intentionally, it's designed to help build confidence within young girls and showing them that they can do what they set themselves and set them their minds to do. So there's a lot of different things that I think we as individuals can be doing to help support other women. I have been told by many women over the years that we do a very good job of preaching that we know we need to help, but we don't necessarily take those words and put action behind them. And my one thing that I tell a lot of these different women that are at these networking events is, it's one thing to be here and be supportive of this event. It's another thing to execute something, support something, serve as a mentor, serve as a coach, you know, get involved with young girls' programs and get them excited about the field that they are in. Because what I do think is that women, specifically that are in technology, have a gift. And that gift is to inspire other people to get involved in an ever-growing industry that has brought great success to them. And nobody can do that as well as they can themselves. And I think we've got a long ways to go, but the more and more people that raise their hand and say, I will do something and I will help, the more that we will make an impact in women moving into the technology field, which we still need a lot more of for us to be able to compete globally. So I just encourage people to get involved, raise their hand, and be part of this movement.
I think it's an excellent point you make as far as how to get involved. It feels like we put a lot of pressure on ourselves to make change, where I at least think of making changes, you know, again, where we no longer even have to have the conversation. It's just equality is what it is, because it's right. It's the right thing to do and how it should be. So I go all the way to like the end result and then goal. What we need to remember is along the way and for generations before us, all of those small steps people take will help us to get to that point. So even the mentoring and being part Girls on the Run, what a terrific program. I mean, all of these different elements that people can do really will make a difference. And something that I love about the mentoring and the different programs for girls and their interest in getting involved in technology is the topic of confidence. And it would seem like the more access they have to people like you and other mentors in the industry, the more it'll help continue to boost their confidence and hopefully not take that away from them. And I mention that because we have found, you know, one of the number one issues, and I think, you know, I'm one of the co-founders of a group called ARA, it's Attract, Retain, and Advance Women in Technology. We have about 6,000 men and women involved in the program across the U.S., and we produce a joint piece of thought leadership, a survey and study of men and women across the U.S., and one of the pieces of advice, in fact, the survey last year said the number one piece of advice that people have for women is to be confident, and getting involved and helping make that change will help, but confidence can be a real struggle, Alicia. I would love to know from you, perhaps, was there a time where maybe you did feel less confident and what steps you took to overcome that feeling? And really that plays into you being open to being involved, to being a mentor. A lot of women I talk to who are at that mentor stage still see themselves as a mentee, not a mentor, even though they're clearly a mentor. Mm-hmm. It's that lack of confidence that really also holds us back. So maybe you could share a personal story of your own.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, first, I do agree that, you know, some women do struggle here. But don't get me wrong, we also have women who are extremely confident. And same with men. You know, I think the challenge here is that women in particular doubt themselves and they put up obstacles that are unnecessary. You know, they see things through a different lens at times and they question their abilities. And I've done so myself. You know, we limit ourselves. And let me share some examples, you know, which I know if proven, which I know are proven, I should say. In fact, I read, and I just can't recall where, a source, that it stated when applying for jobs, women tend to look at a job description and look at it and say, okay, can I check every single one of these different boxes here? And if they don't really have like 95% of them, they're like, I can't apply, right? And I know, Leslie, you and I have talked about this before, because a male will look at that and say, gosh, 50% of them, I think I fit the mold. I'm going to apply. I'm going to get this job. And part of that is we do that to ourselves and for no reason, but we question. We're not necessarily always willing to take that risk. And I can tell you, in finding confidence, you know, the question that you had asked me and putting kind of our own limits out there is really what we struggle with. And I knew, you know, when I went into this current role, I questioned a lot. I knew that I had a long career with the organization. I knew I had a lot of exposure to things. I knew that I had a lot of, to your point, good mentors and coaches that I've learned from. Yet, I also knew the job would provide me things that I had never had exposure to and would test me in ways that I hadn't been tested. And I knew that it would be a tremendous undertaking. And I was worried about those things. And I also knew that I had some tough competition in the role. But I decided to go for it. And, you know, what I thought there was, it's better to put yourself out there than not to. I knew that I wanted the role. I knew it was not going to be easy. And I knew that I needed to be steadfast in not only my own journey, but also, you know, realize that I'm not going to have all the answers. I'm not going to know everything. They're going to ask me things or ask me to do things that I'm probably not comfortable with. But I also felt that there's nobody that's 100% perfect for any job. And I think that we have to open our eyes to the fact that we are not going to check all those boxes. But that doesn't mean that we shouldn't raise our hand and get involved. And one thing that I tell a lot of females is really take advantage of the job that you're in and do the best that you can. But when there's different task groups, and there's different things that are happening around an organization, and they ask for volunteers, raise your hand. Even if you're like, I have no idea how to develop a compensation plan, this is your opportunity to get involved, to learn, to provide your voice, and not be afraid. And when you're sitting around that table, use your voice and let it be heard. And it won't always be the right answer, and it may not be the right thing, but it's better to be part of that than not to. And, you know, so I think we all kind of run up to those times where, gosh, can we do this? Should we do this? And, you know, I just say push yourself a little bit more, because the chances are that nobody is being as hard on themselves as you are. And you just have to raise your hand, take that challenge. Sometimes you will fail, but it's how you basically pick yourself up and move forward that more defines you than that failure that you just potentially had.
So one of the pieces that sticks out in my mind of what you're referencing is being your own career champion. So a lot of times you'll hear things like, why did so-and-so get promoted, or why do they make this much money, or how did they get that opportunity, where people are waiting for that tap on the shoulder without combining that tap with putting themselves out there. So I love that about what you're saying, is that it's better to put yourself out there. You've got to raise your hand, get involved. Just because it's not part of your job doesn't mean you shouldn't do it. Get involved in different activities and make sure your voice is heard. And all of those things that you're saying are being your own champion first and foremost. You can't wait for others to do that. So thank you for sharing that. Speaking of like champion, so just to transition for a minute. So in this case, you are being your own champion, right? So you took it within your own power and control, and that's the advice you have for a lot of people. We still, and I know myself included, I've had a lot of mentors, and today I still have a lot of mentors. I'm also giving back a lot by mentoring other people. Have there been mentors in your career who have helped you along the way? And then how do you approach mentorship today? And just for a quick reference as to why I'm mentioning this, in the survey we do for women in technology, inevitably they all say they want it, but they don't know how to find it or get it. So I'm just curious to hear how it's benefited you, and then how you also help on that front.
Yeah, well, I always believe that everyone should have and also be a champion for someone. You know, I've spent my career surrounding myself with people from whom I can learn from, kind of what you mentioned, Leslie. You know, we've worked with some really great, talented people. And I think that's really allowed me to not only learn from them, but emulate my own role. You know, in particular, I have one person who has been my true mentor, coach, champion. I guess all those words can somewhat be interchangeable, you know, over the years. I have admired her tremendously throughout my career. And I have spent countless hours talking with her about challenges, obstacles, and even successes as they come up. And I truly believe that we all need to have someone that we can bounce ideas off of, thoughts of, struggles, versus just your boss or someone that you work for, or maybe someone that's in your team. And, you know, I kind of look at that person like almost like a career counselor or a coach, but someone also that could be very honest with you. And I think that's super important as being a champion or a coach to somebody. It's really important to highlight the great, but it's also important to coach that person and provide them constructive feedback. Because to me, no one can go at this alone and be successful. And, you know, when I kind of look at my mentor or coach or champion, you know, over the course of my career, I could honestly say that I could not have done it without her. There's been points I think we all have had in our career where we are pulling our hair out, and we're struggling with a certain situation. And to have someone that you can trust and who has potentially dealt with some of those same challenges is absolutely invaluable. You know, I think in terms of being your own champion, as you mentioned earlier, is important, but having someone like this as well really balances that off and is really good for all people, regardless if you want to advance in your company or you're happy with where you're at. Just having someone like that supporting you is really, really pivotal. In terms of kind of providing support or mentorship and champion, you know, I should say championship to others, we have had formal mentor programs within our organization where you've been assigned to somebody. And I think that's one way of doing it. There's also others that come to you and say, would you provide this? And then there's others that I've looked at and you saw the opportunity, I shouldn't say the opportunity, you saw the potential in an individual. And I have personally gone, and I wouldn't say I want to be your mentor, but I've got to know them very well and provided them some insight. And in turn, that kind of changed into kind of a coaching role. And I value those relationships more than anything. And what I found with those roles of being a mentor or a coach is not only do I think that I've had somewhat of an impact on that person, but they've had a significant impact on me. And we learn from everyone that we surround ourselves with every single day. And I cannot tell you how valuable being that person is to others, as well as having someone be that to me. And I would encourage anyone to be one or the other.
Terrific. I hope that people look for different programs within their markets. I know I'm in Chicago and we have the Chicago Innovation Award, Women in Mentoring, Chicago Innovation Women in Mentoring Program. And If your company doesn't offer it, look within your communities to find something, because there are people there. And then to your point, like often within your company, there are people there who are your mentors, and it doesn't need to be a formal mentorship per se. It could just be someone you grab coffee or lunch with from time to time, but having that person is really critical. And then at some point feeling like you can give that back is equally important. So there's the mentorship component and finding someone, which often feels like it's not necessarily a peer-to-peer, although there certainly are peer-to-peer mentorship relationships that I have as well. But when you're thinking of collaboration and your company is kind of a foundation to success and working together, a lot of people will push back and say, you hear horror stories about how people will talk about people not really working well together, including women. How do you advise people on your team and others to kind of reach across the aisle and work and collaborate together?
Well, I don't know if you mean just a woman to woman statement, or do you mean overall, Leslie? Do you mean just in terms of general
working
with others?
Together. Yeah, just in general, but also not being you hear stories about women not supporting each other, which obviously that just should not happen, but it does happen. But just general, how have you been successful as a leader in encouraging people to collaborate and work together instead of making it just all about themselves or a couple of people versus the group or the entire company as a whole?
Yeah, I think that a big part of that is being open-minded. I know that sounds so basic and simple, but you know, what I find is that when I started with this organization, it was very small, and it's become a very, very large organization. And there's different dynamics based on different size and the different types of people and the dynamics that play out. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, politics, you know, you got to play politics, and how do you do this and that? And, you know, I think a big part of it is, first of all, you need to believe in yourself, speak your truth, always be true to yourself. You know, it kind of starts with the fundamentals of that. But also, I think you have to be very open-minded. And I think that you have to realize that you may have an opinion and you may have a voice, but others do as well. And you may not agree, but try to respect that person's position first and foremost. And we could look at that every day in our everyday lives, right? We could look at that in our family lives, with our friends. You know, you get in these political decisions. I mean, all these things kind of play out in the same scenario. And to me, you will never find yourself in a perfect situation, meaning everybody's going to agree 100%, think of it the same way, you know, feel the same way about it. But that doesn't mean you can't get to that point where you can make progress. And, you know, the way I've always looked at it is, you are only as good as the team that you surround yourself with. And you don't want everyone thinking exactly like you. And if that's the case, you have to be open to other people's thoughts and ideas. And we will only make progress if we surround ourselves with people that have different opinions and think a little bit differently and challenge us a little bit differently. I've worked with people that have a very forceful nature to them and tend to get worked up very, very quickly. And I've worked with others that are quite opposite of that. Yet together, it's a really nice balance. And I think if we can look for the positives within each other versus the negatives, which I know can be very difficult, but the positives, and we leverage those, I think we are all better off because of it. And I think our organizations are better off, and personally we are as well. But, you know, it's a tough question, because I think personalities are hard, right? And you have to really take a step back. I mean, I think, you know, we can all agree sometimes you want to respond to an email with a very direct response or a very sharp response. And, you know, take that deep breath. Do that in your everyday, you know, work. Do that when you sit around a table with people or on a phone call. Instead of being super reactive, pause, take a deep breath, and think about what you're saying, and think about what you're saying and what those words will mean to somebody else. I've told many people who have worked with me or for me over the years, it's not always about what you say, it's how you say it. And if it comes off very sharp and demeaning, the response you are going to get is not going to be favorable. So help yourself and recognize the way that you are approaching situations. And part of that is, if you take a step back, you write your email, you look at it, you come back tomorrow, you're probably going to tweak it a little bit. I can tell you I have. I've had to walk away from it, come back and say, all right, let me look at that and think to myself, thank goodness I didn't send that email. You know what I mean? It would have been a disaster. But I think, you know, there is no guidance except for, you know, be fair with your beliefs, be fair with how you speak with people. You know, gosh, as basic as it is, treat people as you would want to be treated, right?
Right. Well, and to your point, you covered on a couple of important themes here. Diversity of thought and thinking is part of why we're doing this podcast, right? Just to share ways and tips and suggestions on how to build diverse teams and diverse companies and cultures. And part of that is that diversity of thought. I often think of as well, and I don't know if you remember Mary Lucas from our Sherry on Days, but she has a book out. She was just on our podcast as well, Lunch, Meat, and Life Lessons. And one of them is the find the like piece. There's a whole chapter on working together with people and finding that nugget or something about the people or person you work with, which I often read and reread because there are, you know, certainly situations and circumstances where you just need that extra bit of motivation and help in working with people and to remember that everyone, they're people, they're human. There's something in there that you can connect and relate to. You just have to find it, and that we're all in this for the greater good, right? There's company intentions and purposes, and those people who aren't in it for that probably shouldn't be at the company. And I know myself, when you mentioned like rereading emails, and I've had a couple of conversations, someone on our team said to me, you always seem so calm and the way you just take things. And I've had a couple times where I've had to say, you know what, I'm going to take a minute. I'm going to call you back. Let me digest what you just told me and, you know, really think it through, because you're right. Your words are very, very powerful. Speaking of powerful words, the last time we were together during the women's luncheon, I simply asked you one question about balance. And that one word, I literally started crying while we were up there together. And unfortunately, it was because I happened to personally be facing a situation where I, you know, and I travel a lot for work like you were. I'm on the road quite often. And usually, though, I'm not gone for, you know, 7 to 10 days at a time. And I have a young son who's about to turn 3. And it just hit me as we were sitting there talking. And I looked across the room at all of the women sitting there like, wow, I'm not alone. I'm not the only one facing this. And I have to tell you how far I've come from that event to today. It was such a great experience for me to do it and come home and see. Obviously, Grayson was perfectly fine. It was mostly pressure I was putting on myself and realizing that I needed to, you know, really think through what tools I could use to kind of get through that. And a couple of weeks ago, before our executive forum conference, I actually made a decision to go to a retreat for myself. And it was more like a, you know, meditation, yoga, some challenge courses, some things about it. And I added on for 3 days to my trip. So it ended up being a 7-day trip. And it was me making that decision to do it, because what I realized at that moment at our luncheon, sitting there together, why am I crying when I just said the word balance? Something was off within myself and what I was experiencing with my own, you know, life, that I needed to kind of regroup and reset and do something for myself, which we don't always do as women. We often put everyone else ahead of us. So I share that story only because I know it's a struggle to find that harmony, but we have to keep looking at ways to do it and learn from other people. And I know you have children and a family as well and a big, big job. So perhaps you could share your top three. And Alicia, I mean, you refuse to compromise on these things when it comes to finding balance in your own life. What would those be?
Well, let me just tell you this, Leslie. So I remember that event and I remember the tears. And I will tell you that I can very much relate to those tears. And I think that, you know, we're all nurturers, we're all caregivers. And it is really tough to find that balance because we put so much pressure on ourselves. And I remember sitting there and I could feel your pain because I had been there, right? And I know that, you know, he was, you know, your son was very young and you felt very sad. But what was great is, you're right, you walk in the door and you know what? You didn't miss a beat. They didn't. It was great. Everything was perfect. And I think that, you know, focusing on making balance a priority is really important. And I struggled with that just probably like you have. And, you know, I'm blessed to have two wonderful sons. And at times I struggled with creating and maintaining that balance. But what I'm really proud of is the time that I did dedicate it to them over the years. You know, we talked a little bit about that that day. You know, I didn't miss an opportunity to be part of a school committee or a sports team coordinator or field trip chaperone, even for that matter. You know, career is very important, but to me, there is absolutely nothing more important than my family. The great thing is I've always been surrounded by very successful women who have also made that their priority. But what I will tell you, there's a couple of things that kind of stand out, because I know a lot of professional women struggle with this balance. But when I look back, I can tell you it can be done. And there's one comment that my son made to me years ago, because I asked him as he got a little bit older, you know, a lot of my friends didn't work. And I respect everything they've done. They've raised their family. They're incredible women. And they chose a different path. And so I said to my sons one day, I said, do you regret the fact that I worked? Do you regret that sometimes I had to travel? And my oldest son at the time said to me, what do you mean? What else would you have done, Mom? That was his first thing he said to me. And I said, well, Jack, I said, I would have been maybe more involved in your school, or I would have been able to do these things and that. And he looked at me, he's like, I feel like you did all that. And it was that moment that I'm like, hey, maybe it worked out. maybe there is that balance. And I put so much pressure over the years thinking, are they going to resent it when I'm older? Did I do enough for them? And he's like, I don't know what you would do, Mom. He's like, you know, I feel like you do all those things that everybody else does. So I say that because they didn't feel that they missed out. They didn't, and maybe you could say, well, they didn't know any different, but they saw their friends, they saw their friends' parents, and they felt that they were getting just as much. And then, by the way, I think that it set a really good example for them. And what I wouldn't do, though, is, and you know, you said these three things, if I had a job that did allow me to do certain things for my children or with my children or family, I personally wouldn't have done that. I respect people that have different opinions on that, but that wouldn't have been for me. And I've really been fortunate that I've had jobs that have allowed me to do what I believe is important for my family. And when I applied for my last job, before I did it, I sat down with my family and I shared with them, I said, here's what I'm thinking of doing. And I will probably have to travel a bit more. I will probably have to do these things. And I don't want to do it if I don't have your support. I didn't make it about my husband and I didn't make it about me. I made it about my family. And I thought to myself, do I even bring them involved, my children involved in this decision? Because if I don't get it, it's kind of a failure, maybe, right? All these things ran through my mind. There's that confidence part of it. But I decided to bring them in, and absolutely, not only were they encouraging me, they're like, how could you not do this? You know, this would be fantastic, and on and on and on. So that day I went, and I went for my interview of my job. And again, on the road, left for the day. My oldest son at the time was a senior in high school. And I got to my hotel room, that room around 9 o'clock, and I had gone through a tremendous day of interviews and so forth. And my phone rang, and it was Jack. And I said, hey, Jack, what's going on? You know, what do you need? Da, da, da. He said, I just want to know how your interview went, Mom. Now, Lizzie, I could cry talking about this.
I know. I've got chills thinking about it.
And I said, Jack, I said, I can't. He's like, I just want to know, how do you think you did? And I said, you know what, Jack, whether I got it or not, I am so glad I went through this experience. He's like, I am so happy you did. I know you got it. And literally, having that from your kids, that in itself, that's all that matters. So
I love that you got them involved in that. Yeah.
Proof's in the pudding, but I don't, you know, there are days it was hard. Your son is sick and you're on the road. That's hard. That tugs at your, that tugs at you. But if you have a really good support team around you, and I am really fortunate because I've had a very supportive husband, I've had family, I can tell you, you can do it. You can make that balance. And I think I'm a better mom, to be honest with you, and I think I'm probably a better employee and leader and boss to some, mentor to others, coworker, because I do have that balance. And it's not for everybody, but it's worked for me, and I know it's worked for others, and I know it can work for people who are struggling with that if they really push through it. And, you know, I am very, very thankful for my career and for my family.
I love the way that you tee up that it's not for everyone, because that's something that I say a lot as well, is the way that I manage it isn't always going to be the way that someone else manages it, but just for people to see that there is that potential or that possibility, or that we really struggle with it too, and that every day there could be something, you know, new, like you and I recording this today. My son is sick upstairs, and I'm like, all right, just so you know, I hear he's calling for mommy. This is just, you know, what we do. And I really appreciate you sharing your story, and it continues to give me strength to hear from other women in the industry. And I love that it's something that I can pay back and give to other parents as well, moms and dads and everyone kind of going through the similar situation. So with that, in closing, I just want to ask you a question. Share the best piece of advice you've ever been given. What was that? It could be applied personal or professional or either, but you've shared so much with us today, Alicia, and I am so thankful that you joined us and opened up and were very transparent about your life and your work and what you give back. What was the best advice someone ever gave you?
Don't be afraid to fail. It's what you do with that failure that defines you, not the failure in itself. And I mean that sincerely. Take that risk. Do something that makes you feel a little bit outside your comfort zone. And if you fail, it's okay. At least you tried. But if you don't try, you're going to be stuck. And so I leave you with that.
Thank you so much. Alicia, I'm sure people are going to want to get in touch with you. What is the best way to reach you? If that's email, Twitter, LinkedIn, how do you prefer to be contacted?
Oh, through LinkedIn or email is fine. I am at alicia.gensler@ronstadusa.com. Of course, I'm on LinkedIn. And, you know, the best part of our job, Leslie, is we do get to talk to other people and learn their stories. And I would really embrace talking with anybody or hearing their story or working through, you know, any type of situation that they're in with them. I would absolutely be open to any of that. So thank you so much for taking your time today. And I really appreciate the conversation.
Excellent. Thank you, Alicia. And it makes me feel better knowing that there are people like you in our industry, for myself personally, who I know I can reach out to. And we talk about mentors and champions and so forth. That's a great example of it not needing to be formal. It can just be simple questions that we ask each other. So thank you again for that offer. And I look forward to sharing this podcast with so many people and staying in touch.
Thanks, Leslie. Hope you have a great day.
Thanks for listening to this week's The Edge episode. If you enjoy this podcast, please rate and subscribe to the podcast in iTunes. And you can also email me at etatum@clearedgemarketing.com. And let me know if you have any questions or if you want to hear about anything in particular as it relates to our Women in Staffing series or our marketing episodes. So just shoot me an email and I look forward to connecting with you. Thank you.